Hello, I'm Annie Warmke, a goat herder that's interested in growing the specialty dairy industry. And through this podcast, I hope to gather and share the stories of women dairy farmers in the Appalachian region of Ohio. Creating an educational and economic value chain for specialty dairy products in Appalachian, Ohio is a project of Rural Action and funded by NCR SARE Grant. In this podcast, we will be talking with Sasha Sagetic, the owner of Black Locust Livestock and Herbal.
My name is Sasha Sagetic, and the farm that I have is Black Locust Livestock and Herbal. I do raw milk herd share with my Guernsey goats, and I also do a lot of herbs and herbal products for humans and animals.
And could you say something about what it means to do herd share?
Oh, sure. Herd share is the legal way that folks can get raw milk in Ohio. You are not allowed to sell raw milk, but you are allowed to consume the milk from your own animals. So for folks that maybe live in the city or the suburbs that can't have their own goats or don't want to deal with keeping livestock, you can buy into a herd, and once you own part of that herd, you're then entitled to get milk from that herd. So it's a way of owning animals without actually having to keep them yourself. And then you pay the farmer a boarding fee monthly to maintain and milk your part of the herd.
Great, that's great. And where do you provide this? So do you go and deliver milk, or people come to you, or how does that
work? A little bit of both. I've got a spot where I can drop off where there's a fridge. I've had other people meet me. Some people have come out to the farm because they really want to see the goats. It's a little bit of everything, but it's you got to do what you got to do to make money to make sure people can get to it, because people find it really easy to go to a grocery store once a week and get everything they need in one spot, but to try to convince them that they need to come out to the country, and it's only a 20-25 minute drive, which some people drive into town for that long around here. But it's a little harder to convince people to come out to your house every week. So I do have a drop-off spot in town with a fridge, which is nice that people can come and then pick up at their convenience.
And what got you interested in working with goats or keeping goats?
When I lived in Austin, Texas, I was fortunate enough to take a permaculture design certification course. And I have a pretty healthy background in natural health and nutrition. And I really liked goat milk, and I really liked the idea of keeping goats, even though I'd never had one before. And through the permaculture course, I realized that there was this wonderful way to keep a bunch of different species in a small homestead, and everything sort of had closed loop cycles and everything. You know, you use the manure in the orchard and then run the goats through, and they can browse and clean up and trim things in the orchard for you, and then you end up with this wholesome, delicious milk all to yourself. And then when I moved back here to Ohio, within a couple months, I ran into Chris Schmiel, and he was saying, oh, well, we need a goat milker, and we need some help. Would you guys be interested? My partner and I, we ended up moving a mile and a half around the corner from his farm, just by coincidence as well. So I started milking goats at his place, and that's how I got started.
So you milk goats for another farm, and then you also keep goats for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And could you talk a little bit about how that works? Like, so right now, are you milking goats, or do you milk goats 12 months of the year? How does that work?
No, thankfully, goats will dry off in the winter, so you get a little bit of a break. Some people do milk their goats year-round, and I had thought about that. Splitting the herd in half and breeding them every other year so that you could milk half of them through and still have some milk. But I farm alone, basically. My partner isn't into farming, and he doesn't really want to do that for his life. So because I'm by myself, I've just milked during the regular season so that I can have a little bit of a break in the winter. Yeah, and for a while I milked at Chris's. I think this last year was probably my last year. I had been managing it for a while and then handed it over to my friend Celeste, because she is also extremely competent with small ruminants. And and just moved more into my own business and concentrating on that so that I could do a good job with it. And I have a daughter that I homeschool too, so my time was pretty, it's at a premium these days, so I really got to hone in and concentrate on it. And I feel like I did a really good job getting Chris's farm to a place where everyone looked really healthy, things were running smoothly, we had good practices and routines, and I didn't feel worried handing it off to Celeste because, like I said, I knew she'd do a wonderful job. We learned a lot together, working together and learning at the same time and trading books and things like that. So if you've got somebody competent around you, it's a good thing.
Could you say something about, in regard to that, could you say something about the value of having neighbors that you can rely on, especially if you're by yourself trying to farm?
Farming's not a single person job. Maybe vegetable farming, but certainly not livestock farming. If you've got a tricky goat or a sheep or a cow, you're not gonna catch it by yourself. You either have to have top of the line infrastructure and chutes and gates, or you have a friend that's willing to get into a small little pen with you and chase your animals around until you catch them. It's not an easy job, but you gotta find somebody as crazy as you, and you, like, animal people stick together is what I've found, and we find each other, and it's a good thing because we really do need each other most of the time. I'm lucky enough that Celeste lives right next door, and we've both lived in another place, and then we both moved and still remained neighbors, so it was really lucky. And I think one of my favorite co-farming stories is of how we got her new hoop house barn off of the back of the semi-trucks. There was three or four different deliveries and really long pallets, like 14 feet long, and I have an awesome tractor that can carry a lot, and it has forks on the front. They're not 14 feet long. So we rigged it so that Celeste would pull the pallets halfway off of the back of the truck with her tractor and a chain. And then I came in sideways and scooped the pallet up in the middle. Granted, I'm on a hillside coming at the driveway perpendicular. And just scoop it up and drop it off, pick it up and take it, wiggle it out of the back of the trailer of the semi and get it onto flat ground. And my gosh, you'd think it was like an orchestrated ballet. We kicked ass. It was really, I was impressed with us, and I'm sure that the semi-truck driver was fairly impressed too. But yeah, it helps to have good friends who know what they're doing.
Yeah. Do you have other products that you produce that from your goats that help make a living?
I have done kefir for people as well a bit when they've asked. Other than the boys we raise for meat, and that's another area that Celeste and I have a really good relationship going, because oftentimes if I find my milk supply dropping, I will go and borrow her goats because they're fed on the same good organic grains and I know that they're healthy. And then I'm usually overwhelmed with baby goats every weaning time, and I keep the girls. And then I pass all the boys to her, and she raises her boys and mine for meat. And in return, while I'm milking her girls, if she can't keep up with it, she knows that they're at my house being treated wonderfully and getting proper nutrition and treatment. So other than meat, not really, because, I mean, hides are nice, but there's not a huge demand for it. And while the Guernseys have long hair, it's not really spinnable, or it's not, you know, quality fiber or anything.
So what would be your best advice to somebody wanting to get started as a goat herder?
Read a lot of books and get good fence.
Good fence?
Good fence.
Oh, yeah.
Good fences shelter.
So, yes, yeah. That's like numero uno for sure.
Goats are the problem. I would say goats are the smartest livestock there is. They will test your patience. And all of your fences and all of your gates. But I think the trade-off is that they usually have an awesome personality. I've never met other animals that want to be around humans, I think, as much as most of the goats I know do. They really enjoy their farmer, a lot like pets enjoy their humans. you know, my sheep like me, but it's because they think I have biscuits in my pocket. They don't want to come up and cuddle with me. Like, the goats will just come up and rest their head on my lap, and I'm just like, oh, you really do love me, don't you? I think that's, yeah. Read lots of books, good fence, and be okay with death because it happens. That's definitely the hardest part. But learning to deal with that and learning to really respect and appreciate the cycle of life in that way.
Yep. So, what do you think is the best advice somebody's given you?
Being okay with death. Celeste, I've said it a lot, and I think I heard it from the meat goat woman that I interned with in Texas, was if you can't do dead stock, you can't do livestock. And it's like, farming is fun at times, but it's also really rough. You have to be able to deal with setbacks and stay on top of your game because you've got a lot of lives depending on you. And if it's too emotionally draining for you to do that, then you're not going to make it long because accidents happen, sickness happens, genetic defects happen. It's life. I mean, nature isn't kind, but it sure is honest.
Yep. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Great.
Thanks to Sasha Sajatic for sharing her ideas and expertise. Technical assistance and photography is provided by Kat Harrier. This program is a part of a collaboration between Rural Action and NCR SARE Research and Education Grant. In future podcasts, we'll be interviewing a variety of people who are connected to the specialty dairy product industry, plus talk about how to make a living by supplementing a dairy business with other products produced by the animal. Marketing, branding, animal welfare, standards, and regulations, plus more will be covered in upcoming podcasts. For more information, visit www.ruralaction.org.